It's Thursday, the day we read from your emails, and our inbox was filled with praise for Michelle Norris's interview with Principal Charles Salter of Elise O'Neill High School in California. He banned dances at the school because he was fed up with students' sexually suggestive moves. Bravo, Principal Salter, writes Genevieve Bernard of Orlando, Florida. She calls him a level head in a drowning world of political correctness. And Sue Paulson in Crystal Lake, Illinois, says Principal Salter ought to be teaching other principals and school boards to be bold enough to raise young adults, not simply supervise animal behavior. Well, this week, many sharp-eared listeners pointed out two things we could have made more clear. Marianne Boker of Belleville, Michigan, was one of several listeners who tells us we need to make this first clarification. In our coverage of the meeting of the U.S. Conference of Catholic Bishops, we said that the church's approved form of birth control is called natural family planning, or NFP. That part is true, but then we said it's commonly called the rhythm method. Ms. Boker writes, "The rhythm method is an outdated and not very effective method that uses a woman's past menstrual cycles to try to predict future fertility. Its ineffectiveness is notorious. NFP depends on the woman's consistent observations of her fertility signs. NFP is highly effective." Calls for this second clarification came amid the high praise for Michael Sullivan's story about the diary kept by a Vietnamese doctor during the Vietnam War. Robert Milne of Marcellus, New York, was one of many listeners who wrote to say they were touched by the report. He writes, "Yesterday was the first time I was moved to tears by one of your stories. I anxiously await the publication of Dong Thuy Cham's diary. Her heroism and tragic death are an elegant account of the cost of war. My thanks to Frederick Whitehurst for saving the diary and to you for the story." But many of you wondered about this discrepancy. Frederick Whitehurst says he found the diary in December of 1969, but the last diary entry is June 1970. Well, here's our reporter Michael Sullivan's reply. The answer to the question is another interesting part of this story. Frederick Whitehurst says the diary came to him in two parts. The first time, in December 1969, Dong Thuy Cham had lost it. She dropped it while moving from one location to another. The second part came to Frederick Whitehurst several months later, shortly after the doctor's death. He also believes there may have been at least one more volume, but it hasn't surfaced and was probably lost in the fog of war. Among the things many of you think we got right this week was Adrienne Nicole LeBlanc's sound portrait of her father's last days. A beautiful statement on the dignity of human life and the process of dying, writes Bob Eccles from Carleton, Michigan. Daisy Egan of Los Angeles adds, "How bittersweet it must be to have your final goodbye set down on tape." Please send your thoughts to us through our website, npr.org. Click on Contact Us at the top of the page.